Now, the first round of France's presidential election is tomorrow. The tragic curtain raiser was this week's shooting in Paris. So could a renewed terror threat push voters to the right towards Marine Le Pen, the National Front leader? The shooting of a policeman on the Champs-Élysées, with all that symbolism, is just the latest development in what was already shaping as an unusual election for France. Maryse Elbert is a political scientist. She is with Melbourne University's School of Political and Social Sciences. She's with us in the Melbourne studio. Maryse, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much for inviting me, Andrew.
It's my pleasure. We need to start by facing the sort of tragic events of this week. Do you think that the shooting will push more voters to right-wing candidates?
Well, I wouldn't be able to answer exactly what those voters are going to do. But one thing I can say is like, well, some candidates are trying to use the opportunity of the terrorist attack in order to attract more voters. That's definitely a trend right now.
Mm. Do we have any late opinion polls that give us some sign of how the vote might go in the wake of that shooting?
Well, I was reading actually Le Monde, and it seems that, again, we don't actually know. Even the polls are not telling us which of the four candidates are going to be ahead tomorrow night. It's still very unpredictable. And I actually would explain that's actually why two candidates, Fillon and Le Pen, are trying to politically use a terrorist attack to gather something like lost voters at the last minute.
Yes, you mentioned there François Fillon. He is the nominee of the mainstream Republican Party in France, very much in the same tradition as other centre-right leaders. He's actually tacking to the right to appropriate a lot of the far-right's language on this.
Definitely, this is a really good analysis. I think he has realised that actually since 2 or 3 weeks ago, he's going up in the polls again, kind of picking on Marine Le Pen voters a little bit, and he wants to ramp up this kind of support. I think, yeah, it's definitely true.
Yeah, we'll talk about Fillon at length later on. But Marine Le Pen, she's been prominent in French politics for a while. Even before this shooting, though, Maryse, I think she had a real shot, better than even her father did in 2002, of actually winning this election. Is that right or not?
Yes, you're definitely right in that analysis, and particularly because when her father was in the second round in 2003, we really did not expect that. But this time, it's been for a year or two. We know she's on ahead in the polls. We know she's going to be in the second round of the election. It would be very surprising if she was not, in fact.
Let's just have a listen to a quick excerpt from this week's edition of Dateline on SBS. This is in the campaign office of the local National Front candidate in Denain, which is known as the poorest town in France.
The French national anthem, La Marseillaise, was written as a call to arms during the revolution. It's now become a war cry for the National Front.
Marchons, marchons, cassons la pure, abreuve nos sillons.
That was the SBS reporter Amos Cohen. Maryse, does that excerpt sum up the idea that the national anthem of France has been claimed by the National Front? I mean, what does that say about where politics is now placed in France?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. The way they use the national anthem, which has been used for the revolution, fighting against the system. So maybe you can draw some connection with that National Front using the same kind of anthem and to be able to ramp up this kind of ideas of anti-system ideas that they are portraying all the time. I always have some trouble with groups trying to use so much their national anthem for some kind of political ideas or political movement. I find particularly, nobody knows, but I find particularly the French national anthem really hard to listen to because we are openly asking to kill other people in the national French anthem. So that's kind of quite interesting. This kind of violent wording as well. I find that quite challenging.
Oh, well, it sounded rather good in Casablanca, but...
well, exactly. It was, yeah, you're so right. It was kind of fashionable at some stage.
Interestingly, though, about Marine Le Pen and the Front National, they say she's tried to detoxify the brand, and she even expelled her own father, who was a known anti-Semite. In that SBS piece that I referenced there, I even saw a rally where on the stage next to her were a number of black French faces. I'm not suggesting that there's been a total overhaul of the party's ideology, but she does at least appear to want to recast her party somewhat less emphasis on race and more on culture.
Yes, definitely. And you can see the last 10 years that has been a political agenda. A political agenda has been to sweep under the carpet all the kind of dark side of the National Front, if I may say. And we could say she's actually been quite good at doing it. She got caught a little bit, not this week, but the week before, she kind of opened or lift a little bit the carpet and showed a little bit of its dark side. But you can see she's been quite successful and quite focused in trying to portray the National Front in a different way.
Mm. Yes, you're referring there to, I think, an episode where she tried to disavow any French involvement of the official French people or the French state in the rounding up of Jews during World War II. She said sort of Vichy wasn't France or something.
Yes, so she considers that actually for her point of view, she said that actually the Vichy government it was not recognized officially. That was much more De Gaulle in Britain was recognized. So we can't talk about it as being responsible because that was not the official government, according to her, which is historically it's not right. But that's another point, I suppose.
It's Saturday Extra. Andrew West in for Geraldine. I'm speaking with Maurice Albert of Melbourne University about the French elections. Let's talk about François Fillon briefly. Now, his was thought to be completely dead as a candidate due to a scandal involving his wife. That was, you know, he supposedly paid her money, state funds for work that she didn't do. Is it true that François Fillon's Catholic religious base is the thing that's keeping him in the game, keeping him within reach of the first round?
Surprisingly, it seems to be, and especially this movement, which is called Sens Commun. This movement was created in the resistance against the law for equal marriage for everybody. There is a movement that was created at this time in order to resist that law, and they then survived quite well, and they are one of the strong pillars of François Fillon's support. So much so that François Fillon claimed that he could put some of its members in his government once he's going to be president, which is quite surprising.
He's got a very strong appeal to a part of France, even though we think of it as a country of laïcité, very secular. There's a very strong cultural Catholic basis to France that he seems to be tapping into.
Yes, and I have to say, Andrew, I've got some trouble to believe that, but it's true. There is this this number of people which are Catholic from origin, but not really religious in that way, that they go into church every Sunday and things like that. But still, they still support him, despite everything as well. And this is another thing which deludes me a little bit. It's like, well, despite the corruption allegation, despite the kind of dodgy political program that Fillon had, they are still supporting him. And supporting his ideas about the kind of traditional Catholic Catholic roots of the French society.
Maurice, we should give some time now to the other two leading candidates. I want to speak about Emmanuel Macron at the end. Tell me about the surprise rise of Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
Well, this is very interesting because from my point of view, it's not only my point of view, but it seems that if you compare Mélenchon to the other candidates, what happened with Mélenchon, it's like during the two last debates, the three last debates, he's been the most efficient politician on TV. When he was interrogated, he was really alive. He had ideas. He was putting them forward in a kind of very efficient way. And in some ways, that explains why he has increased in the polls. As simple as that. He's the best one to talk on TV and on radio compared to the other one.
And he's a candidate, though, from the far left. Left the Socialist Party in the early 2000s. Very radical proposals on taxation for the rich and a uniform national income. And he seems to have basically stripped away all the support from the official socialist candidate. He's running third.
Yes, exactly. And I think actually he has been clever enough, and his advisors have been clever enough to say, OK, the Socialist Party is in disarray. Let's use this opportunity to actually get the voters. And I think he's been very efficient in doing it. Because I would say he's a bit better as well, or more charismatic than the Socialist Party candidate. I don't want to disparage him. I'm not doing that. But I think if you see the way they are in front of TV, they are having a political debate. He's much better at doing it.
Yeah, but what he also has in common with Marine Le Pen is a deep scepticism towards the European Union. And of course, Marine Le Pen actually has some very left-wing economic policies. So they have the far right and the far left come together on certain economic issues.
Oh yes, let's divide that into. For Marine Le Pen point of view, the reason she is having what appears to be so different kind of political stand for different categories of the population, it's because she's thinking about the second round of the election. She has to because the polls are telling us that she will be in the second round of the election, and she needs to appeal to a wider range of voters in the second round of the election in order to be president. And if she doesn't do that, it's not going to happen.
Hence. Yeah. I need to ask you about the man that they still consider the front runner, although his fortunes are slipping, Emmanuel Macron. He's from the sort of a centrist movement. Isn't his problem is that, he's a lot of personality but no political base?
Well, this is the way everybody's going to criticise him. Although, if I may say, his main problem is to be able to be a front runner at the first round. He's going to have much less trouble in the second round because he's going to be able to appeal to a wide range of population. Right now, it's for him, his main problem is to be able to appeal to enough people right now to convince them they should vote for him because he is the decent guy or the rational guy compared to all this extremism.
Yes, but he's very sort of pro-business friendly in a country that's historically very sceptical of big business. He's a former banker. I mean, does he have baggage there?
Oh, he's got so much baggage. I didn't know you wanted to talk about that, but we can talk about that. Yes, he has so much baggage. One of them is being that he was a banker previously. Then if he was François Hollande's main political advisor, which is not nothing. And then he was economic minister under Hollande presidency. All that are baggages, which are for sure some hurdles he's got to jump on to be able to reach a second round of the election. I've got no doubt about that.
Yes, so 20 seconds. How do you think the first round of elections is going to end up?
Oh, well, this is very interesting. We have been told with the polls for more than 3 months now it would be Le Pen and Macron. But then since 3 weeks ago, nobody is really able to say who's going to be there.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good to have your input. Maurice Elbert, political scientist at Melbourne University. Thanks for being with us on Saturday Extra.
Thank you for inviting me.